Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chancellor Montgomery, and I just wanted to start off by saying it is a great honor and privilege to be able to speak for you here today on Youth Day. So I recently graduated from high school. I went to Hayes in Delaware, and this fall I will be attending the Ohio State University at Marion and majoring in middle childhood education. I've spent the past 6 years of my life working with a wide range of kids from all ages while working at the YMCA and doing a day camp every summer. And I've also spent the past year working at the United Way. After this summer of another year of Y camp, my life will be much different than it's ever been. Instead of driving down the street a little ways to go to school, I'll be taking a 30-minute drive to a new place full of new students and new teachers, most of which I've never met before. And this is just one change that will be occurring to my life in the upcoming months. But the thing is, change comes in all sorts of forms and can be seen all throughout life. We all experience it in some way, shape, or form. From small things, like getting new floors in your house, to something as big as moving to a new state. Change is inevitable. And change happens to everyone, every day, and can vary on the effect in your life. For example, when we were in the process of getting the new floors put in our house, my little brother was very excited, and he wanted to help out with the process. But the problem was they were getting done while we were at school. So he came up with a little plan to skip school that day, and when I went to go wake him up in the morning, he told me he was too sick to go to school. So I saw through his deception and decided to let my mom deal with it. Well, I found out later that he ended up staying home from school that day, and after my mom had left, he suddenly felt better and decided to help put the floors in. This slight adjustment to his normal routine of the day made it so he just missed out on school for the day. But for other people, change may result in a big decision that could affect not only your day, but your entire life. Imagine now you're 40 years old. You have a good job that pays well, and has great benefits, and you're just living life. But then an opportunity arises for a new job, and this job is a startup. It has opportunity for more money to be made and better benefits. But there's always that possibility of failure along the way. In this scenario, you're faced with a decision that could affect your whole life and change many things about the way you live. But that's the catch. It's all up to you. As you can see from just these two examples, change varies from person to person, from answer to answer, and whether it just be a simple yes or no answer or even a life debate decision, all of this weight you may be put up against is kind of like a teacher who is asked to do so much in their job description that the only thing that can really help them in the world is sometimes not always there. I think it went a little something like this. After being interviewed by the school administration, the eager teacher said, "Let me see if I've got this right. You want me to go into that room and fill these? You want me to go into that room full of kids and fill every waking moment with a love for learning? I'm supposed to instill a sense of pride in their ethnicity, modify their disruptive behavior, observe them for signs of abuse, and even censor their t-shirt messages and dress habits. You want me to wage a war on drugs, check their backpacks for weapons of mass destruction, and raise their self-esteem? You want me to teach them patriotism, good citizenship, sportsmanship, fair play, how to register to vote, how to balance a checkbook, and how to apply for a job? I am to check their heads for lice, maintain a safe environment, and recognize signs of antisocial behavior. Offer up advice, write letters of recommendation for student employment and scholarships, encourage respect for the cultural diversity of others, oh, and make sure that I give the girls in my class 50% of my attention. My contract requires me to work on my own time after school, evenings and weekends, grading papers. Also, I must spend summer vacation at my own expense working towards advanced certification and a master's degree. And on my own time, you want me to attend committee and faculty meetings, PTA meetings, and participate in staff development trainings? I am to be a paragon of virtue, larger than life, such that my very presence will awe my students into being obedient and respectful of authority. You want me to incorporate technology into the learning experience, monitor websites, and relate personally with each student. That includes deciding those who might be potentially dangerous and/or liable to commit a crime in school. I am to make sure that all my students pass the mandatory state exams, even those who don't come to school regularly or complete any of their assignments. Plus, I am to make sure that all students with handicaps get an equal education, regardless of the extent of their physical or mental handicap. And finally, I am to communicate regularly with parents by letter, telephone, newsletter, and report card. All of this I am to do with just a piece of chalk, a computer, a few books, a bulletin board, a big smile, and a starting salary that qualifies my family for food stamps. You want me to do all of this and you still expect me not to pray. As you can see, people go through so many different things in life, and the one thing that we need to remember is we need to talk to God when the change happens. Like this teacher being faced with so many aspects of their job and life, the choices we need to make, sometimes we need to consult with God, as David does in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, where it says, "When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went down to the stronghold. Now the Philistines had come out and spread out in the valley of Rephaim, so David inquired of the Lord, 'Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands?' And the Lord answered him, 'Go, for I will surely deliver the Philistines into your hands.'" Not only did David go and consult God for prayer, but also Jesus does many times throughout his ministry by going off by himself to have a talk. Like after the feeding of the 5,000 in John 6, verses 15, it says, "Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him a king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself." And, most famously, in the Garden of Gethsemane in John 17, where he prays not only once, but three times, to be glorified, to pray for his disciples, and to pray for all believers. Again, these examples show that change is shown throughout the lives of many people, even Jesus, and is something everyone will have to deal with at some point in their life. And these changes can be either positive or negative in a person's life, depending on the situation. No matter when this change may occur, it can be positive or negative in the outcome of it. And in the Bible, we can see from different examples that show this positive or negative effect. When you think of a college dropout, you probably have a negative image in your head. Someone who didn't try hard or didn't really think that they could succeed. But if I told you that Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard at the age of 19, he did this to invest his time into Microsoft, and he became one of the wealthiest men in the world. This took courage for him to break out of this path of going to college and knowing that if he continued in his success, that he would do something great. But instead, he decided to drop out and took a big risk, and it paid off in the end. But to this day, after taking that big risk, he is now a strong advocate for the advancement of education of the youth. Like this, and there's many other stories in the Bible that talk about change to a person that flipped their lives completely around. The first person I'd like to look at was a young man by the name of Saul. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we meet him, and he's looking for a missing donkey. While he's searching for this donkey, he meets a man of God by the name of Samuel. And Samuel then anoints him as king of Israel. In such a short amount of time, Saul goes through such a great change, coming from nothing, as he says in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 21, where he says, "But am I not a Benjamite from the smallest tribe of Israel? And is it not my clan the least of the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why would you say such a thing to me?" But then he goes on to be anointed king of Israel. Saul did prove himself to be a great king for a short while, until the events of Samuel 15, in which he disobeyed God and in his actions, and was then rebuked by Samuel as the king. With Israel without a king, Samuel was sent off to find a new king. And this is when we are introduced to David, the lowly farmer boy. This boy had courage like no other, but little does he know, his days as a farmhand are close to up. In Samuel chapter 16, David, being the youngest of eight, was chosen as the new king of Israel, and he ended up being one of the greatest kings the nation had ever seen, and a man after God's own heart, as we see in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, where it says, "After removing Saul, he made David their king. God testified concerning him, saying, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. And from both of these examples, we can see how change greatly affected a person and how it could be either positive or negative on its effects. Of course, all this change can come onto a person, and it's up to them to find out what to do next. Change is often hard to accept due to the fact that people will get used to their daily schedules, and the sudden adjustment can really throw things off, which could upset some people. Applying change to someone can be rough because of this resistance that people have. There are many different approaches that people can go through, varying from positive to negative, and it all depends on the way a person will look at it. Sometimes a change can occur that might instill fear in a person, such as a fear of an unknown outcome or the fear of failure. This could result in the possible procrastination or even running from this change. On the other hand, some people may embrace this change, and change can result in good things sometimes. And people may often seek this change in order to receive the good that can come out of it. One example of this would be with the country singer Thomas Rhett. He depicts this situation in the lyrics of one of his songs and tells the story of him and his wife. They went to adopt a child from the country of Uganda, and after getting the adoption to go through, the couple then found out they were pregnant. They took the positive approach in this situation and continued with the adoption and decided to raise both of their children. In the Bible, we can find other examples of various ways to deal with change that can occur in life. One example can be seen in the scripture reading we had earlier from the story in Matthew 19. It opens up with, "This then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?' 'Why do you ask me what is good?' Jesus replied. 'There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments.' 'Which one?' he inquired. Jesus replied, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'All of these things I had kept,' the young man said. 'What do I still lack?' And the man had felt confident in what he said, and he thought that he was doing all that he should be, and was on the right track. But then Jesus answered, 'If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me.' And when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven.'" This man had left Jesus sad, and I would assume that he did not go on to sell his possessions. He took the negative approach when given the advice that he should change his lifestyle. He removed himself from this idea of change and left Jesus empty-handed with his decision. But then there are other examples in the Bible in which we can see a positive change on things. And one of these stories comes from a man named Saul. Saul was bent on killing those who followed the Lord, as seen in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, where it says, "Saul was still talking much about how he would like to kill the followers of the Lord." This man had been responsible for the death of Christians for following the Lord and managed to find his own path to the Lord himself. And he took his newfound skills and love for Christ and not only changed his whole life around, but also decided to make a difference in the lives of many others, as seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here." Paul really changed his life around and did his best to make the difference in the lives of others. As Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We can see Paul as our example here because before he was a devout Jew and was committed to killing Christians. But after he was saved, he turned his life around and became an apostle and is now known as one of the best evangelists of all time. This is because he knew that there was a change that could be done and he committed to it. Both Paul and the rich young man also provide examples of different approaches to change by showing how you can either avoid this change by removing yourself from the situation or taking in the change and developing a new state of mind to live your life. While we live in a changing world, new roads, new cars, new laws, new gadgets, new stuff, there remains one constant, and that is God. God doesn't change, as we can see from these verses I'm about to read. First, in Malachi 3, verse 6, it says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O children of Jacob, are not destroyed." God says here that he is staying the same, and his love for us will always be there. Next, in Hebrews 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This shows us that Jesus will always stay the same and always has and always will love us because he is unchanging. James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "Whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God. He is the one who made all the light. He does not change. No shadow is made by his turning." This also shows that God stays the same in order to provide for us everything we need. And finally, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, it says, "The grass dries up, the flower loses its color, but the word of our God stands forever." And after seeing this, we realize that no matter what happens in this world, God's word will always be there and it is always right. With all of this talk of change, we must remember that the best kind of change is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know that our old life, our old sinful self, was nailed to the cross with Jesus. And so the power of sin that held us was destroyed. Sin is no longer our boss. When a man is dead, he is free from the power of sin. This is Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. And as we can see, baptism and the addition of your spirit to the body of Christ is the best change that you can make in order to gain access to eternal life. So, if anyone is ready to make this change in their life and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, or if anyone is in need of prayers and encouragement, please come forward now as we sing the song of invitation to encourage you.